get everybody to grab their seats, and then we'll have a few announcements before the service. So as we move into summer, summer is a season of growth, season of heat, season of vacations, season of travel, season of a lot of things. And I haven't shared this with Steve, but I'm sure he has the same thought. There's a Bible verse that, because we're not as maybe in the Word as we should be during the summer because we're busy with stuff, but there's a Bible verse that comes to mind and says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." 2 Peter 3:18. The reason why that verse is so important is because this is a season of growth. And probably the most important growth is not what we see with our eyes or hear with our ears, but the season of growth within our hearts and the season of to get to know Jesus even more. So our prayer would be, as pastors and would be that we're in the Word and reading the Word and growing in knowledge of who He is and what He has done, what He is doing with us and with our families, uniting the body of Christ. And that would be the prayer this summer as it became summer as of the 21st. So think of these thoughts as we move forward. And as Sunday school is over, and Wednesday men's group is coming to a conclusion. Friday Bible study will continue throughout the summer, so that'll be something that we can definitely spend our time in, and we'll go from there. Bible study this Friday at 7, and Sunday worship service at 11. And this summer is kind of important that because we are apart. Once in a while, we're traveling, we're not together, that we pray for each other and be united in the faith and think of each other. I encourage the youth to, if you haven't picked up the habit of reading Proverbs, I encourage you to do that. One proverb a day, starting whatever the day that, if it's the 25th of the month, start at 25. There's 31 Proverbs. If you can get in that habit, It's a good habit to be in, and I encourage all the youth to do that if they haven't already. If you have, hopefully you've received some knowledge of who Christ is and what He has done for you in that book. Are there any prayer requests?
Yeah, just pray for Joan. We head to Calgary tomorrow for her operation. It could be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. It might be longer or shorter depending on what they find. But we head down tomorrow for 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Okay, thanks.
And also, for those that are not being able to get to the convention, there is a link now on the website to the convention live stream and the times of the services. And just a reminder, the times quoted there are in Eastern Daylight Time, so it's 2 hours in advance.
Okay, thanks, Terry. Okay. Thanks, Steve.
Tom, can I ask for prayer? I'm feeling so overwhelmed with this process of selling my house and finding another one and trying not to fear and be anxious, but it seems to be so big that I really ask for prayer.
Okay, thanks. Right, the order of worship today is 144, Come Thou Fount. Ike will be reading the psalm in Psalm 3. Then 155, Holy Spirit, Faithful Guide. Neil will open in prayer. And number 335, Under His Wings. And the message is in Luke 21, 25 to 36. Steve will be speaking today. And the closing hymn is Victory in Jesus. Let's begin.
Psalm reading for today is Psalm 3. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. Selah, but you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Selah, I laid down and slept. I awoke, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you have struck all my enemies on the cheekbone. You have broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing is upon your people. Selah.
Prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with thankful hearts, giving us the opportunity to be here to worship and celebrate you together. Lord, we pray with you, you would be with the individual members of our congregation here through this coming weeks and months. We pray that tomorrow you'd be with Terry and Joan as they embark on a journey of surgery and recovery. Pray that you would be with the doctors, give them the strength, the knowledge, and the wisdom to do that which is best for her, and we pray that you would be with Mary and give her strength, Lord. We pray that you would open your word to her and give her areas that she would be strengthened from, give her the people in her life that she needs to back her up where she needs it. Just be with her, Lord, and give her comfort. Lord, we pray that we'd be with Steve this coming week also, that you'd give them the wisdom and the direction to say that which you would want to be said in this seminar, if you will, that ultimately you'd be honored and glorified. Lord, summer, as Tom has mentioned, is coming upon us, and there will be those of us who are traveling here and there, and those of us who aren't, who are just busy. Lord, we pray that you would be with us through this time, give us strength, give us the comfort. Lord, we pray that you would bring us closer to you, even through this time where we may not see as much of each other, and that ultimately that we would honor you and glorify you, and that those around us in our individual worlds would also be able to see that light. Lord, we come to you with that prayer that you've given us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Fill our hearts and our souls today as we've gathered for a meditation, for part of a meditation of our time this morning. I would like to read from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and we'll read from the 25th through the 36th verses of that Gospel. They are the words of Jesus. That's Luke chapter 21, beginning at verse 25, and we read in the name of our Lord as follows. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh, or close. And he spake unto them a parable, behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Amen. I spent time this week in the first half of the prophecy of Isaiah. And until yesterday, I was quite sure that that was where we would be today, because it is the largest prophecy, the greatest depth, it seems, of the struggle of the human heart, the rebellion of the children of Israel against God, of redemption, of the coming of our Lord through the verses we often read at Christmas time, comfort ye, my people, from the 40th chapter and all of the others. And so I was taken by those portions in the book of Isaiah. And you say, well, then why on earth are you reading in the 21st chapter of Luke? And I think it's because I realized that I need to hear, I need to be reminded, I need to be reassured, and perhaps we all do, that we live under the wings of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We are sheltered and protected. We are in a place that is safe from whatever is going on around the world. And ironically, as I thought yesterday, I think we'd better go to this chapter in Luke. Lo and behold, the strike on the nuclear facilities in Iran was a few hours later, which without question increases uncertainty concerning what's going to happen in this world. And it can cause, as the scripture tells us, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. But it wasn't because of those things only that I felt that I needed to read and will meditate in this portion of Luke. But it is such a reminder that as we go and go and go, and as we're busy, and as Tom has said, and Neil, the summer is upon us, and there's travel and busyness all around, it's easy to lose sight of the simple fact that regardless of where we go, we are under the wings spiritually, the protecting wings, the righteous wings of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary's request for prayer strikes a chord because it mirrors where my own heart has been in the last couple of days. And that is that I need that reminder of just how safe I am and sheltered I am and how sure are the promises of God. And that's why then we ended up where we are this morning. But I do have to say, after considering the first half of Isaiah, that there's a couple of places that are just too rich to ignore today. They really are. Because as you know, the children of Israel were in continual rebellion against God, continual murmuring and complaining. And when you look at the early parts of Isaiah, we begin to understand a little bit better what Jesus meant when he said, "You shall not forgive seven times only your brother who has sinned against you, but 70 times seven." And it seems that God was tested well beyond that with the children of Israel. The idolatry, the continual seeking for something to worship other than the living God, the continual doubting of what he could do, the continual complaining about the food and the provision that they had been given. I would just like to go to a couple of places in the 25th and 30th chapters of Isaiah, 26th and 30th chapters of Isaiah, when the people had repented, many of them had repented, of the various things that had haunted them. I'll just read the 13th and 14th verses of Isaiah 26. This is their declaration. O Lord, our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. One admission of the heart that has been given the grace of repentance to say that other lords have had dominion over me. And those may be physical things. Is it drugs? Is it alcohol? Is it pornography? Is it pride? What is it that God has been able to deliver you from or me from? The list is long, but yet how beautiful it is when we're in a place where we can acknowledge that through repentance and faith in the gospel, we can be in this place where we are able to say to God, other lords have had dominion over us, but not anymore. Not anymore do they have dominion over us. They are dead, and they shall not live. They are deceased, and they shall not rise. Because you, Lord, have visited them and destroyed them, and also made their memory to perish. How many times in any of our lives would we give anything to take back 5 minutes, 10 minutes, an hour, a season? We wish that it could be erased. We're ashamed. And to think that they were able to declare by faith that you, O Lord, have taken these things that held us, had dominion over us. You have destroyed them. And my declaration in heart is, they are behind me. They're dead and they shall not rise. They shall not have dominion over me anymore. That's such a beautiful looking forward. And then it says, and also made their memory to perish. And that, I think, is how any of us are able to live with the past. Because our memories are good. Often they're too good. And it's hard to forget. Especially with your own flesh and the devil on each shoulder reminding you. Ooh, do you recall that? Do you recall that? But what a blessing to know that when God takes them away and destroys them, We are able also to say that you have made their memory perish. If it passes by, there's no hurt, there's no hook, there's no sting or poison, even in the memory. But it is this that, oh, I just thank God that whatever it was that happened, whatever it was that had dominion over me, it is gone. And I will not be eaten alive by the things that I did or had or thought or saw or whatever. I am free to move on. Boy, when I was in this place here a few days ago, I almost couldn't leave it. Just because of the power of those two verses that describes the heart that has been changed and has been purged of idolatry, idols, evil things, and other lords that have had dominion. And then there's a place in the 30th chapter that I would also like to read. And this is, I think, especially an encouragement to the youth, but I think it applies to every one of us. If you look at in the 30th chapter of Isaiah, this is the presence of the Holy Spirit. And what drew me here was the fact that we have just celebrated Pentecost, and now we know that the new church, long ago, was now being led by the Holy Spirit of God, not by the old law, not by the rules and regulations of it, but by the Holy Spirit. And Isaiah foresaw this with a beautiful verse, which is the 21st verse of that chapter. And thine eyes shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Count on that Holy Spirit. Young person, as you think about where I should go, what I should do, what I'm being drawn into, remember this verse. You shall hear a voice behind you. He may not stand in front of you to block you from a place you should not go, as the angel of the Lord did to Balaam and his donkey. It may not be that dramatic, but you shall hear a voice behind you. That's that still small voice of the Holy Spirit of God. And that voice will say, this is the way. Walk this way. Walk in it. When you are turning to the left or to the right, which are the directions you should not be going, count on that Holy Spirit's voice to say, this is the way. This is the way. 95-year-olds nearing the shore of the end of life can also believe that they will hear that same still small voice in their heart. This is the way. Walk in it. Follow me. I'll guide thee home, as the Spirit song, Faithful Guide, noted to us. At all ages, but especially I thought of the youth, and I thought of how many times in my youth would it have been good for me to have this verse right here, that you shall hear a voice saying, this is the way, this is the way. We can trust the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and Isaiah saw it centuries before the giving of the Holy Spirit to the church specifically. So that was where I thought we were going to head. But we didn't. And so we find ourselves in an equally rich portion. And that is dealing with the end of the earth, the end of the world. It's very clear that this scripture here deals with the return of Jesus. This text that we have read is no other time except that time where the end of time is coming and has come. But a couple of verses that come to mind in the 91st Psalm. The psalmist says that of the Lord, under his wings shall you take refuge. Under his wings shall you take refuge. Isaiah in the 41st chapter says, fear thou not, I am with thee. Be not dismayed, neither be afraid, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. I will strengthen thee. In the 23rd chapter of Matthew, if you want to just look at that quickly, has a verse that occurs not elsewhere in the scripture. Again, the words of Jesus, where he is lamenting over the state of Jerusalem. In the 37th verse of the 23rd chapter of Matthew, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. How often have I called? How often would I have gathered you to this place of safety, as a hen gathers her chicks, and you would not? So Isaiah was writing of the state of the children of Israel hundreds of years earlier. Jesus is talking about the state of the children of Israel, the Pharisees, those under the law, all this time later and in the New Testament. And he is saying, how often would I have gathered you? How often? And you would not. And so it is a precious thing to know that I have not refused to come under the gathering wings of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's where he wishes us to gather. And it doesn't sound very manly, frankly, to say, not only am I a sheep, but I'm also no better than a chick, peeping and helpless under the wing of the protector. But I pray our hearts are found right there. And maybe that's what drew me to this text, was this thought that no matter what happens, no matter how complex the world is going to become, and how confusing and actually, as our text tells us, perplexing. I don't know what to think. We can be reminded that we are gathered safely under his wings. There shall be signs in the sun and moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations. And here, it's actually Mark that helps us a little bit with this, because we think, well, was it the recent strawberry moon that was the lowest on the horizon of a full moon in however long? You know, it was so low on the horizon a week and a half ago. Is that a sign of something? Or what might it be? Eclipses are good for that too, that maybe this is it, and so on. But when Jesus speaks here, he's not talking about strawberry moons. He's talking about what Mark actually talks about. In the similar account of Jesus, but worded as is rich in the Gospels, slightly differently, in the 13th chapter of Mark, he says, but in those days, after that tribulation, this is after the persecution, the imprisonment and other things of many of God's people, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And that helps put quite a point on it, because we know that he's not talking about odd-looking formations in the sky. He is talking about the extinguishing of that powerful light of the sun. The sun will be darkened. The moon will not give her light. The stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And so here we see that that is what Jesus is really talking about. He says it more mildly in our text, that there will be signs in the sun and moon and stars. But Mark says, no, he was actually saying that they are going to go dark and fall. The sea and the waves are roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. That is the day that, though fearful, though fearsome, that is the day that we look to. And we do not know, no one has yet experienced this, and we don't know if we will either. We really don't know. Jesus is saying, the interesting verse, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Debate has raged about that. What on earth was he meaning by this generation? Did he mean the people that were alive at the time he was walking on the earth? No, most likely not, because tens of generations have passed and this day has not come. It seems as though the most likely explanation of that verse is that it will happen in one generation. All of this end time here that's spoken about will happen in one generation. The ones that see it will also experience the end of it. But there are three or four different attempts to define that 32nd verse, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And we see that it is a fearsome time. And it says that those that are there shall see the Son of Man coming with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh, close. That's a precious thought, isn't it? Because we see many things roaring. We see uncertainty in the world. We see how much it appears that the world is coming apart at the seams in many ways. And we are encouraged always to look up. We're encouraged always to look up. But when it's really, really tough, when it's really, really frightening, when it's really terrifying, as is described in our text, Jesus is still saying, look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draws close. Don't cower as much of the world will cower in fear. And as he says in another place, they will actually call on the rocks and hills, cover us. Cover us. Give us a covering. But he says to the child of God, no, look up, for your redemption is drawing close. And so, are we immune from this verse? Does this verse not apply to us at all? No, it applies completely to us. Look up, your redemption draws nigh. As we come to the end of life, as one of the songwriters described to us, where should we look? Look up, for your redemption draws close. Look up. Are we ever encouraged to look down? I have gone through some of this Bible. I haven't found that. But we are always encouraged, look up, look at the face of Jesus, look at what he has done. He said, I if I be lifted up from the earth as he was on the cross physically, will draw all men unto me. And it's our prayer as we gather that we lift him up, knowing that that is what will draw, as he said, all men unto me. And so look up, for your redemption draws nigh. And then he talked about a little of what Tom and Neil were talking about. You look at the fig tree and all of the trees. When they shoot forth, you see and know that of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. You're able to discern that very well. In another place, he told them, you're able to discern the face of the sky. Because when you see a red sky in the morning, the weather will be foul. And how many of us had our dads teach us that one? Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailor's delight. I was taught that as a mere little tyke. And it sticks with you. And it's a beautiful thought to realize that you can realize a lot of things. And he says here in the most simple thing, when the leaves budded here a month ago, we knew summer's coming. We weren't debating, is this really the start of winter? Are they going to fall, color up? No, we know by the promise of God, summer is close. And he said, so likewise, when you see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. And then those reassuring words, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. There is a concrete certainty to those words. Heaven, the very heavens will pass away. The earth will, as we know from elsewhere in the scripture, will be burned up with fire that will consume even the elements of it. But he says all of those things are going to pass away. They are temporal. But my words shall not pass away. The words of Jesus, the words that he spoke, the words that he has left, the words that his Spirit helps us to remember, they shall not pass away. We are dealing with rock solid promises. We're dealing with a word that shall never pass away. We're dealing with the Lord who has also promised, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I will never cast you aside. I will not leave you. And it's a precious thought. As the personal storms or the external storms rage in the heart or all around, what words these are. My words shall not pass away. I will not leave you. I will not forsake you. I believe that is when we are strengthened to walk forward. That's when we're strengthened to walk, knowing that I shall hear a voice behind me saying, this is the way. And many times when we look, there's perplexing decisions to make. Do I go this way? Do I go that way? We all have them. And we know that we pray that God's Spirit would be heard in our ears and in our heart. He wishes to speak to the child of God. He wishes to show you this is the way. Walk this way. When you turn to the left or to the right, take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with gluttony, surfeiting, drunkenness, cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. Have you ever felt like I'm so busy with my head down and my bottom up that I can't pay attention to anything. I'm just trying to make it through each day. I'm grinding, I guess would be the term. And he says, take heed that no matter what is going on in this life, don't let that day come upon you unawares. And here is where the word watch comes in. Back in Mark, the 13th chapter, we see that Mark adds a richness to this portion of Jesus speaking. In the 33rd verse on, he says, take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to every man his work. Notice that, to every man his work. Every one of us has a vocation, something that we are supposed to be doing in life, whatever that may be. We're left to that also. And commanded the porter to watch. Watch, therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at evening, midnight, cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. And that is the end of the chapter in Mark. What I say to you, I say to all, watch. And I just pray that we will find ourselves to be watching, to be watchful. Not fearful, but watchful. Notice the budding of the leaves and say, I know summer is coming. Notice the changing of the colors in the fall and say, I know that winter is coming. Notice the word of God working in your heart or in your family, and watch. 33rd chapter of Ezekiel says that the duty of the watchman is an important one, and for a parent it is. It says that you will put up a watchman on the portals of the compound, and if the watchman sees danger approaching and warns the people, and they still perish, their blood is not on his hands. But if the watchman sees the danger approaching, says nothing, and they perish, their blood is on his hands. That can be, I don't know if I dare to use that next Saturday, just standing here thinking about it. That's quite a heavy for a parent, isn't it? Am I that watchman that Ezekiel is talking about? Am I willing to warn when I see danger approaching? I pray we all would be willing to warn those in our charge, children or whoever it may be. But the command is to watch and pray. And if you don't know anything else to do in the kingdom of God for a while, just continue to watch and pray. Watch with an anticipation. Watch the way you would eagerly await the sun to rise over the horizon. That I just can't wait for it to crack its way over. Watch that way. Don't watch in fear. I don't know what's going to happen next. I don't know. And yet he says to be watchful, hopeful, prayerful, always. I pray we'll find ourselves watching. Watching over our family. Watching over our friends. Watching over each other. Watching over our heart. Be watchful. And then he says, for as a snare shall this day, or it, come upon all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's going to come very, very quickly. I have not snared animals on a trap line. I'm absolutely fascinated by it. That a hunk of wire and a stick could do what it does, but there's only one reason it works, and that is that it is lightning fast. It is lightning fast. There's no such thing as a slow snare, but it happens like that. And it says it's going to come that quickly as a snare to all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. We are watching and we are prayerful. And honestly, I don't know whether I dare to pray that I will witness what we have seen in this text. I'm not so sure. I know that every forefather and ancestor that any of us have ever had, when they died in faith, they have gone on to glory without ever experiencing the text that we have just had in their physical life and body. But it does not mean that this text is meaningless to us, does it? Why? Because we don't know. We don't know. It applies now because we don't know. And he says, watch and pray. Watch and pray. But he also gives us such strength and comfort to say, my words are not going to pass away. My promises are not going to pass away. I will not leave you. As we head into summer, for sure, I pray that our hearts would be uplifted no matter where we go and what we do. I pray that our hearts would be lifted up by these words of Jesus, also the words of Isaiah, and the knowledge that there is one that wishes the very best for us. He wishes success for us. He wishes success, of course, at the end. But he wishes success in joy and peace in heart for all of us, for all of the days that we live. Look to those things. Pray for those things. Help each other in those things. If we know that someone is not in that place, then let's draw close to them. Draw close to them in love and in prayer and in help. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee, be gracious unto thee. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. And we'll conclude with 671.
Thank you. love me.